Heavenly Father, we, your children and your warriors, go into the battlefield knowing that you fight for us, Lord, that you are our strength, you are our shield, you are our great defender. So, Lord, we go into this battle unafraid, with full faith, knowing that you have us. We thank you and praise you, Lord, for your word, and we ask that it speak to our hearts tonight. Pray this all in the name of Jesus. Amen. This is your theater in brief. This is an unclassified briefing. Distribution to Allied forces is authorized, and intel is current as of today, March 19th, 2025, Anno Domini. Going to go over background, mission in each area of operations, recent enemy activity, your chain of command, and a little bit about resupply. So first, some background. As you know, this war that is going on now started with the first recorded civil war that ever took place in the heavenlies, in the kingdom of God. Lucifer, the highest ranking angel at the time, led a coup against His Majesty the King. And his declaration of war is recorded in Isaiah 14, verses 13 to 14. And he stated, quite foolishly, "I will ascend into heaven," Lucifer said. "I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation, on the farthest sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High." It was pride that caused Lucifer to desire more than he was allotted, and therefore he fell. Keep that in mind as we go through this intel briefing, that pride was the original sin that caused this. This will become important later. One third of the angelic host joined Lucifer in his rebellion and failed. We see that in Revelation 12:4, and they fell from heaven like lightning, as indicated in Luke 10:8. Going into the current war, Lucifer, now named Satan and other titles, attacks the king's children through various means, other tactics and strategies, and he has been doing it so ever since the fall in Eden with Adam and Eve. Satan started this war. God will end this war, and you are in the middle of it. Your mission in each area of operations, you're currently deployed to the Stockton, California region. However, you will be forward deployed from time to time. Your area of operations will extend outward from self to family, to the church, to the city in which you are assigned, and then beyond, again, as you get forward deployed out for various durations. So I'm going to start with the first area of responsibility that you have, self-defense. The enemy will indeed attack your heart and mind. It is undoubted that he has already attacked them many times in your life. They are indeed single points of failure, so they must be guarded at all costs. Hit those and the whole system shuts down, not only for you, but for the loved ones around you. We see this in Proverbs 4:23. "Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it." According to this, this is the most important thing that you must defend, that is the heart. This is priority one. Attack that and achieve victory in that area, and everything else falls down. Equal to that is guarding the mind. We see this in Romans 12, verse 2. "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." According to this, defending the mind holds equal importance to the heart. So when the Lord renews our mind through sanctification, we see that the results are both internal and external. The internal results are we are transformed to be more like Christ. And externally and resultantly, we are then able to demonstrate the perfect will of God to an unbelieving world, which is very important because that unbelieving world is the enemy camp. You are definitely, without a doubt, in enemy territory. So how do we defend our hearts and minds? We see that in Philippians 4:8, where we are exhorted to think about those things that are true, noble, right, pure, lovely, and admirable. If anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. This is an active defense on your part, like having sentries posted on the perimeter day and night, monitoring whatever comes in and out. We must do the same thing with our hearts and minds, constantly and vigilantly guarding whatever comes in. The heart and mind are top priority on the hit list. Your next area of responsibility is the family. Parents, this is for you. The enemy will attack you to get to the family. The enemy will attack your family to get to you. His purpose is to cause anxiety, to sway your faith, to keep children from believing in or serving the Lord. There's three principles for the parents in the room. Number one, know the scriptures. Last week, the pastor went over Ephesians 6:17, describing the sword of the Spirit as the word of God. Your children will undoubtedly have questions for you, especially if you follow these other two steps. Be ready to either present the answers or look for the answers with them. Parents, because of this, you have to study for two reasons. You have to study in order to provide the answers for your children. And you also have to take that time to enjoy study. So in California terms, this is studying for medicinal purposes and for recreational purposes. Number two, make the joy of salvation visible to your children. Many times the youth will depart from the faith because they get the sense that their parents didn't get anything out of that old religion. Romans 15:13. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. See, the function of joy is to bring hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. The enemy will absolutely try to demoralize you. And a demoralized enemy is a defeated enemy. Let that joy be manifest at all times. Number three, for you parents, present the gospel as often as possible with your families. Ephesians 6:15 says, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Know that your kids will not be kids forever. And if you're unable to teach them at home, which understandable because most parents these days, both parents have to work, they will have to go to public school undoubtedly. And with that, that means they're going to be on a battlefield of their own and left vulnerable if we don't raise them right. Present the gospel as often as possible. Unspeakable things are taught in the public school arena. That is a very nasty battlefield, and it's getting worse with every generation. So without you, the next generation of warriors are compromised. The next area of operations is the church. The enemy has been attacking the church ever since its inception, ever since the apostolic age. False doctrines and false leaders have infiltrated the church for generations. And it will only get worse. Several passages within Scripture warn us that deception will only increase as we approach the end of days. So there are two principles with this when considering the church as the battlefield. Number one, only attend a church that teaches sound doctrine. We see this in Titus chapter 2, verses 2 to 6. This is a long one, but bear with me. There's a lot of things to keep in mind here. But as for you, speak the things which are proper for sound doctrine, that the older men be sober, reverent, temperate, sound in faith, in love, in patience. The older women, likewise, that they be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. Likewise, exhort the young men to be sober-minded, in all things showing yourself to be a pattern of good works. In doctrine, showing integrity, reverence, incorruptibility, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that one who is an opponent may be ashamed, having nothing evil to say of you. As you can see, there's a lot to do on our part. Sound doctrine includes sound theology. And as many theologians will tell you, if you believe right, you'll act right. And number two, regards to this battlefield, this part of the battlefield, Serve in any capacity that you can. I'm looking around, I'm seeing a lot of servants already. I can tell you I'm very encouraged by that. Ecclesiastes 4, 9 to 10 is in regards to friendship, but it applies in this situation. It says, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, one will lift up his companion. But woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up. See, the church cannot run without help. The value of anything is determined by the consequence of its loss. So if the church is lost, fellowship is greatly compromised. And without fellowship, the saints are exposed on the battlefield. And as you know, it's a common tactic of the enemy to pick us off one by one by separating the flock. The church needs servants. On to the next AOR. It's the city. The city to which you're assigned, Stockton. As heaven's ambassadors, we see that in 2 Corinthians 5:20, we're prohibited from isolating from the world. As often as we get tempted to do so, we are prohibited from isolating from the world unless exigent circumstances exist, such as infection, disease, sickness, and so forth. Matthew 5:14 attests to this. It says, you are the light of the world. It's quite an honor to be called that by the King himself. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. We are not to separate from the world, not to be of the world. We must be in stark contrast to our surroundings. And since we are in enemy territory, that means we are on purpose making ourselves an easy target. 2 Timothy 4:5 goes into this. But you be watchful in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. So along those lines, if you're not doing that, you realize you want to do more of that. Remember, the first Saturday of every month from 8 to 1, excuse me, at the Delta Market is where we have our outreaches. And the team is getting bigger, it seems like, every month. It's awesome. Additionally, outside of those outreaches, you can leave tracks, evangelize, connect with others, set the example. Doing so, evangelism may seem very innocuous on this side of eternity, but in the spiritual realm, this is very significant, as we already saw today with two names getting written in the Lamb's Book of Life. This is not the Lamb's Book of Life.
Too short.
They also got written on a notepad, too. And beyond the city is the area of operations that is beyond. You will occasionally be forward deployed outside your assigned region. That's to be expected. The trips may vary in duration. You may even get reassigned and redeployed for longer than permanent. But you're still on duty during those times of forward deployment. Matthew 28, 18 to 20, very famous and popular and easily recognizable passage, the Great Commission says, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. So your mission field is wherever you go. Even while you're on leave, you're still on duty. The King may place you in places of evangelism or in any other skill. Be flexible and be available. Moving on to recent enemy activity. Just a moment. All right. Last week's previous mission brief included enemy tactics, including the following: temptation, accusation, persecution, deception, oppression, and possession. These were absolutely stolen from last week. So thank you for doing the work for me, Pastor. So the three enemies, the world, the flesh, and the devil, they are highly coordinated in their attacks. Highly organized. The flesh nature being closest to the soul will provide intel to the world and to the devil, indicating vulnerabilities. In the same way that an intel analyst would figure out as much as possible about an enemy's structure and then pair the right weapon with it, the world and the devil will provide the same weaponry. Every conceivable demographic is on the enemy's target list. But there are high-value targets that the enemy looks for. They are families, and the goal of hitting families, including marriages, is to demoralize through divorce or through broken homes. As I said before, a demoralized enemy is a defeated enemy, so take this seriously. Servants are also high-value targets. You take down those, and anyone who follows them will follow suit. And then governments, making sin socially acceptable, and even worse, enforceable. It has happened before, and prophecy tells us it'll happen again. Now, going into the actual weapons of warfare that the enemy uses against us, his tactics, techniques, and procedures, we start with temptation. As far as recent enemy activity, we see that every type of sin is available on the cell phone, almost every type of sin. Weapons of greed, lust, rage, slander, they're all available to us in our pocket at all times. The most common, you probably already figured it out, is pornography. It is a near-perfect biological weapon. The brain patterns for those who are addicted to pornography show the same patterns as those with addictions to gambling and cocaine. If you find yourself in this trap, repent and quit cold turkey. There's no 12-step program. There's no weaning off of it. Quit and go through the detox. Additionally, anyone with a cell phone is also given a platform to spew hate-filled rhetoric, such as, anything that's been happening in the last few years, especially during the election season, anytime there's economic strife, you'll see divisive content out there. Your defense against this is to filter any information or images that you take in, like those sentries along those fence lines. Doing so will provide a defense against the next form of attack, which is accusation. See, not only will the devil accuse you before God, as we learned last week, the world will do the same as soon as it has the opportunity. And as soon as you are convicted of your sin, your conscience will attack you as well. The purpose is to render you inactive on the battlefield, to disarm you, to convince you to surrender. Your defense against this, when you fall, notice I did not say if, repent and move forward. If you require backup on the battlefield when you fall, get up first and then ask for backup. Don't stay down. Stick close to the Lord. Leave no separation whatsoever, even when you mess up. The next tactic is persecution. This region is not known to have a high level of persecution. However, it does exist. Two examples are out there that are common. Military chaplains have been dismissed from their positions for praying in Jesus' name in public events and for preaching anything that hints against toward homosexuality. In the civilian world, people have been fired for refusing to engage in anything that supports ungodly lifestyles. That being said, if you are forward deployed to more hostile regions, understand that there are regions out there, some battlefields in which Christians are actively hunted down. They are forced to worship and fellowship in secret, lest they be imprisoned or executed. Your defense for this is to trust in the Lord even when it hurts. And sometimes, as we're promised in Scripture, it will. The enemy might take your wealth, your resources, your health, as he did in the account of Job. But your soul, no matter what happens on this side of eternity, your soul is guaranteed safe. Remember, you are deployed here. You are not permanently assigned here. Another tactic that the enemy uses is deception. Recent enemy activity within the last few generations, we see cults such as Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses. What they'll tend to do without even trying is to skew the polls that we see, showing how many Christians are in the world and the nation and so forth. These cults will claim to be Christians, skewing the numbers, which means, unfortunately, you are far more outnumbered than the polls will even tell you. The good news is you are not outpowered. Countless other false religions exist. They draw people in under the guise of tolerance, being more friendly than those intolerant Christians and so forth. Or they'll claim to be the one true religion. That's why Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses, and Islam, they all have that in common. They're the one true religion, and at some point, orthodoxy fell off the rails, and they're here to set things back in order. Another facet of deception is that governments worldwide, especially within the last 10 years, and especially within the last 5 years, have openly spoken about the existence of alien life. The consensus is that they are interdimensional rather than interstellar, if they're real. And if they're real, they are friendly, which is, I don't know which one is scarier. Abduction accounts have changed throughout the generations. The most recent ones have commonalities such as nuclear weapons are bad, global warming is bad, peace on earth good, and for some reason, Jesus is not the Messiah. Those are the four most common messages in abduction accounts. And that's coming from world governments. The entertainment industry is probably worse, painting evil as good and good as evil. I will give you three examples from the entertainment industry. There's a series, you may have heard of it, called Lucifer. It had enough viewership to last six seasons from 2016 to 2021. And here's the overview from IMDb, the Internet Movie Database. Lucifer Morningstar, bored of his sulking life in hell, comes to live in Los Angeles. While there, he helps humanity with its misery through his experience and telepathic abilities to bring people's deepest desires and thoughts out of them. While meeting with a detective in his nightclub, a shootout involving him and the detective leads him to become an LAPD consultant who tries to punish people for their crimes through law and justice. So for some reason, for six seasons, people wanted to see the devil as the good guy. Another example is a series called Good Omens. It lasted three seasons, and I don't know if it's been canceled yet because it's gone from 2019 to 2025, the current year. The overview, according to IMDb, the end of the world is coming, which means a fussy angel and a loose living demon who've become overly fond of life on Earth are forced to form an unlikely alliance to stop Armageddon. Wow, angels and demons working together. Then lastly, because we don't want to leave the kids out, Hollywood produced a movie called Dear Santa. Perhaps you've heard of it. It's a Jack Black movie. Do not watch it. A kid accidentally writes Satan on his envelope instead of Santa, and the envelope gets to hell. And Satan ascends from hell and grants the kid three wishes in this buddy comedy. Likewise, in all or most series and movies, conservative Christians are considered intolerant tyrants, whereas atheists are considered free thinkers. Your defense in this is obvious. Your task is to adhere to all truth at all costs and present the truth gently to the unbelieving world. Remember, we are here to win people and not arguments. Make no mistake, these people are fighting you, but we are fighting for them. Oppression is another tactic. In the same way that God has allowed the heroes of the faith to be tempted, even up to the point of death, and persecuted by the enemy, we will also be subject to attack at any time. We are not given a free pass. Your defense in this is found in James chapter 1, verses 2 to 4. He writes, "Brethren, count it all joy when, not if, you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing." See, the hardest part is verse 4, where it said to let patience have its perfect work. Because the end goal is your sanctification. And the end goal of your sanctification, your Christ-likeness, is to become effective disciples of others. And lastly, the last tactic, possession. Now, the risk of believers getting possessed is absolutely zero, so you can take heart in that. This region to which you are deployed has a low risk of possession, but that's only because deception and temptation are so rampant that possession has become almost unnecessary. Possession mostly happens where occultic and New Age practices are followed. If you find yourself in a position to cast out a demon in Jesus' name, Please take heed to the king's words in Luke chapter 10, verses 17 to 20. Then the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. See, the danger that comes with rejoicing over an exorcism is the same danger that brought Lucifer down, pride. If you have to cast out a demon, cast it out, press on. Your chain of command is pretty straightforward. All of the king's forces have a direct line to the commander-in-chief, His Majesty the King, Lord Jesus himself. You will have mentors, such as pastors, elders, ministry leaders, but nonetheless, you have a direct line to the Lord who will provide you intel and orders as appropriate. And at times where you're not getting orders or intel, keep moving forward with the last thing that the Lord told you. You are not to pray to angels. You are not to pray to saints as intermediaries. We see that in 1 Timothy 2:5. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Jesus Christ. So should you encounter a spirit while you are on the battlefield, the word tells us that we have to test that spirit. We see that in John chapter 4, verses 1 to 3. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know that you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming, and the bad news, and is now already in the world. So again, if you encounter a spirit that's the enemy, cast it out, move on. If it's an angel, by no circumstances worship that angel. That is idolatry. Angels are powerful allies. They are fellow servants, but they are under a separate chain of command, and you do not have the authority to summon them. Resupply. Your resupply points are the church, fellowship, prayer, worship, study, and ministry service. This is where you will find renewal. This is where you will find recharge. Everything that was said in Philippians 4:8, how to maintain your thoughts, how to focus your thoughts, this is all done practically through fellowship, prayer, church attendance, worship, study, and service. Hebrews 10:24-25 exhorts us to maintain this lifestyle. He says, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as is this manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day coming. Fellow warriors, you are not Rambo. You are not a one-man army. You are designed to work as a team. So you are, in every sense of the word, a combat unit, with emphasis on the word unit. You must continue to train throughout your assignment. That means we are to attend church regularly. Fellowship, training, support, prayer partners, etc. Those are all extremely vital in this war. Outside the church, we're supposed to maintain that same lifestyle. To do anything less is to hinder our communications with the king. Without communication with the king, we're fighting blindly or not fighting at all, which is exactly what the enemy wants. If they can get an enemy off the front lines, then that's one last combatant on the battlefield. So that concludes tonight's briefing. Fellow warriors, do you have any questions? Anything that was not covered? What have you seen out there that wasn't covered in the intel brief? Any enemy activity of recent? I know I had to put on that persona just to look all tough. I'm really not that tough.
How do we match? How do we match that?
We all need to stand to attention.
Right.
Copy that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sir.
there's one third against us, but there's two thirds for us.
That's true. That's true. And they're pretty numerous too. They weren't even countable within the scriptures, 10,000 upon 10,000. It's just crazy. But yeah, they fight for us. That's a huge support unit. Yeah. Yeah. So we don't fight alone. That's a good thing. I just kind of wish we can see where they are so we can kind of maneuver with them. And plus we could say, I got to see one. Yeah.
But then that might stir up our pride.
Maybe, maybe. I was thinking along the other lines where, like, 9 times out of 10, whenever someone saw an angel, the angel had to remind them not to freak out.
Yeah.
Like, two instances I could think of where they didn't freak out right away.
Right, because they fell to their... Yeah, they fell during the... It was like, no, stand up.
Yeah.
Stand up.
Yeah, John had to be told twice, the author of Revelation.
Yep.
Stop worshiping me. Yeah. Crazy.
Well, we've used expressions where somebody's done something really nice or helped them. Somebody said, oh, they're an angel here on earth. You gotta stop doing that. But I mean, you know, there's people that are, you've experienced in life and they've done nice things for you or helped you out. And I've used that music for, so they're an angel here on earth.
Hmm.
I won't use that anymore.
Yeah, I've heard that phrase quite a bit. Yeah, I think it's just being a, you know, trying to give a compliment, but I get it. I get it.
About the other side of the coin, in terms of some of the things that you talked about, one of the radio stations that I listen to, they have a lot of interviews with people that have been in service to God for a long time, but they have fallen. And one of the biggest areas was the pornography.
Yeah.
The percentage is significantly high. Particularly, and if these were people who had access to their computers, they worked for big, you know, companies or whatever. Anyway, it was shocked the first time I heard, but I've heard several interviews now that that is prevalent.
Oh yeah, big time, and it's getting worse for both men and women, and every demographic.
Yes, and women were a small percentage when, at least they didn't know that years ago.
Yeah.
It's pretty close.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep. Still more men, but it's getting close. You had your hand up?
Yeah. I know Miss Gell and I think I told you about KYCC. They were advertising Lee Strobel. He just came out with a new book. And it's regarding that spirit, like, it's like the supernatural kind of occurrence of how God performs, that we see. God still performs miracles, you know, and I don't know too much about it. I know he's just been advertising it lately. So, Case for Christ guy.
Yeah, I'm trying to think what the name of that book was that you're describing, though. Is it
The
Case for Miracles?
Yeah.
Yeah. I saw one of his documentaries recently. I wasn't impressed. So, I'm kind of concerned about what this book might hold.
Gotcha.
Yeah. A lot of universalism in this last documentary. But maybe it's the producer's fault, not his. I don't know.
It still falls on the author.
Granted, I was just trying to sling him a bone. But The Case for Christ, I mean, that was a good book.
Yeah.
And then the follow-up, The Case for Faith, those are weapons of warfare right there, because if you ever get into a dialogue with an open-minded atheist, and you can present these arguments that Strobel was developing and through years of research, I mean, it's good. It's good stuff to use. Yeah, absolutely.
What is something with the Mormon church?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I have family that very into that.
Mm-hmm.
And so what is, you know, seems like, well, over the years, and now it's, you know, more days behind us than ahead of us, what can we use? What can we say? What can I say?
Well, the first thing I would suggest is just knowing the Word of God. We can't know the ins and outs of every single cult that's out there. We'll drive ourselves crazy. No one has that kind of time. A lot of theologians, a lot of apologists will study certain ones and really focus on them for a while and go on to others and then engage the members of those cults. But if you're not sure, like, for instance, I'm not an expert on Mormonism. I know the very, very basics. So the way to do that is, in the same way that you would identify a counterfeit by constantly seeing the good stuff, if you know the Word of God and you can find the contradictions that they present that don't match up with the Word of God, then the question becomes, well, are you really a Christian or are you something else? And you can lead the conversation that way. But if you know, if you can spend the time and understand Mormonism and the history behind it and what they believe that already contrasts with the Bible, you can go with that and start asking them the questions. Yeah, that's the best advice I got for that. Yep. But do it gently.
Well, I will say, we had an incident happening here with someone, and you can go on, you can use the online for good, too. We had to, the part where Jeanette was in the hospital. She was being attacked, and she called me, and I just went online, and they have their script. Mm. They have their script of, this group that they are, they God's counterfeit, and they know what they're up after. So I just went online and I was able to find this, and so I'm giving her these things as, she's saying this, this is when she was in the hospital. So there are some resources out there if you...
There are.
There's some good resources.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a huge tactic that the enemy uses. He'll take anything that's good and make a counterfeit out of it. We got counterfeit churches, we've got counterfeit Christian music, we've got counterfeit ways that we show affection, and then the online world. There's so much good that could be done online. My seminary is online, and then the same network that's used to get information on theology can also be found to go towards the enemy's ends.
Wow.
Crazy.
Yeah,
there's a counterfeit for everything, for now, until all of evil is wiped out. That's going to be a great day. I want front row seats on that one. Yeah. Like when he comes down from heaven with his saints and angels, I want to be like right behind him. Yeah. Get him, Lord, get him. Yeah. Yeah.
The enemy also, and his servants also, in order to tell a really good lie, you got to have a little bit of truth. You have to be careful.
Yeah, and oftentimes the enemy will use the truth against us, especially in this, those points of accusation where he'll go up to the Lord to accuse him or to accuse us before him, and the world will do the same thing. Yeah, it's the more truth within those accusations, the better for their cause. And that's why being living a holy life is so important. I mean, like the author of Hebrews was saying, or make sure that so nothing can be used against you.
With the LGBT, it's like we're supposed to show love to them. Well, as the pastor said, we can't have love without truth.
Can't have love without truth. And you can't tell the truth without love either. Yeah. Along those lines, I heard a story about a race that took place. It was a 100-mile race, and this guy was in second place, and the guy that was in first place was just a few yards ahead of him. And the guy that was in first place went past a turn that he was supposed to make. Now, out of love, that guy that was in second place, he could have just kept going and made the right turn and let that guy just get lost, and he would have become first place, but no one wants to win that way. So out of respect for that runner, he stopped him and said, hey, you're supposed to turn right over here. So he waited for him to get on the trail and then took off. In the same way, we're doing the same thing with the unbelieving world. We're showing them out of love the way, because it's just the right thing to do. It would be unloving to not point them to the way. Yeah. Good contribution, bro. Absolutely. Anything else? Still got time. My chickens aren't in the coop yet. I got time to go get them. I love this time of year.
In today's world, a lot of the TV and movies subtly expose ungodly things as being good.
Oh, wow.
The more exposure there is, the more it seems to be okay.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I can think of one show. See, my generation and earlier, when they think of Westerns, they think of Little House on the Prairie, So when Yellowstone came out, I realized it's not anything like Little House on the Prairie. So if you've never seen Yellowstone, don't see it. The pilot is bad. We just stopped watching it.
You mean you've never seen The Tales of Wells Fargo?
No, I haven't.
Oh,
no. I've been forced to watch Bonanza against my will.
Gunsmoke.
I've had to watch that against my will, yeah.
It's hard to find a show that is clean.
Yeah?
It is.
Yeah.
It is. Yeah, we have a thing at our house where after dinner we'll watch something, and we're both pretty selective about what we watch. So that selection has brought us to like the 1990s. Just that was when storytelling was just storytelling without trying to push an agenda. But even then, the 80s and 90s had some content.
Yeah.
It was so prolific, you didn't even realize you saw it that much. You're like, oh my gosh, I really watched that as a kid. Mom, where were you? It's crazy, it's prolific. Yeah, it's an absolute weapon of the enemy. There's no doubt.
I was thinking when you were reading about the weapons also that enemies can use, it's people around us too. Like, like if you're surrounded by people, even family sometimes, it can be a weapon used, you know, like if your family drinks, or if they, if they use a language that you shouldn't be using, or it's very contagious.
Oh yeah.
I think, and it's easy to go back. So I was thinking how that can be used too. Friends that we have.
Yep. In spiritual terms, we can actually use the term the battle of Thanksgiving dinner every year, because it's like spiritual warfare every time you get around that that situation, unless you're so blessed that you're like the Waltons where they all pray before dinner. Some of y'all don't remember the Waltons.
Christmas gets hit by that.
Yeah. Some of y'all youngins, I shouldn't have brought that up. God, I'm so old.
But to encourage everyone, we do, if you don't, you can reach out to other fellow believers out there. Like how Jeanette reached up to Miss Gail.
Yep.
You know, like that was, hey, and she got right on it and said, hey, we're going to do this together. We're not, you know.
Yep, exactly. That's why I was saying before, if you fall, get up first and then call for help. And we're supposed to confess our sins to each other anyway, because iron's going to sharpen iron. We hold each other up. Yeah, we're designed as communal beings. That's why the enemy loves to pick us off one by one by separating us from the flock. So definitely reach out to the homies, for sure.
The homies.
The homies. That's the Farmer Joe translation.
Yes. What verse is that?
The Farmer Joe translation. Yeah. 1974.
You brought up earlier that these things are great at isolating you from everything else.
Oh, yeah.
They're great at isolating you from reaching out?
From other people.
Which is interesting because it's a communications tool. Ironic, isn't it?
Yeah.
What you got, Brother Alec?
To add to that, it's also funny how there's an apple with a bite taken out of it on the back of most of our phones.
Yeah, the iPad.
And I was just curious about if there is a right and a wrong time to engage in spiritual warfare.
A wrong time to engage in spiritual warfare.
I don't think we have a choice.
Yeah, we don't really get much of a say in the matter.
Yeah, it happens.
The enemy is pretty powerful. Now, you can battle your flesh out all day long. I mean, it's just abiding in Christ. But you get to go against the world, and you gotta get the homies involved. If it's the devil, you've got to get the Lord involved right away. The Lord's involved in all of it. Yeah, no, there's never a time in which you're going to be like, you know, I'm going to sit this battle out.
Okay. Well, we're not supposed to be going looking for trouble, though.
This is true. Yeah. We're mostly defense. I mean, you got some polemicists that are going to be on the offense, but those are so far few between.
And that's kind of what I was kind of moving towards, because in the church culture that I come from, people kind of read the, you know, part about you will trample on serpents and you know, all this stuff, but they forget about the last part that says, do not rejoice.
Yeah, yeah.
And they think that the manifest power of God is at will in their being whenever they want. If someone is going through something, they've got to cast out the demon. If someone's battling something, they gotta tell them the truth. They gotta deliver them. And I just don't think that that's true. You know, like if that person isn't ready for that, then it's gonna make it 10 times worse. You know,
it takes discernment.
Come back with more demons, or maybe. You know, you're like at the grocery store and you just have to tell everybody the gospel, but maybe it's not the right time to tell somebody the gospel because God knows that their heart is hardened and it's only going to make it worse, you know?
That's why leaving tracts is so great, because, you know, they'll put it in their pocket and later
read it when they got some time, because they're, you know, trying to bring stuff in through the register and whatnot. You ain't got time to hear nothing, but that's why I like tracks so much. Yeah.
You guys have time to do
them? Yeah, we can get you some right after service. Don't let me forget, okay? We'll get you some business cards and all that stuff. I feel like the guy under the street, like, oh man, I got NKGV, I got NIV, what you want? I got Spanish. Yeah, we'll take care of you.
Yeah, no, it's like my mom says, pick your battles wisely. Don't pick a battle when maybe it's not, I mean, there's always going to be spiritual warfare, but maybe we think, okay, we should have a discernment, maybe we should be battling in this particular situation.
Well, don't forget, fasting and prayer is huge in warfare. Yeah. It's absolutely huge. So picking your battles as far as when to confront, when to go on the offense, absolutely, you got to have wisdom and discernment. But in those times where you can go defensive, then you're still offensive because you're using fasting and prayer.
Yeah.
Yep.
Maybe the first thing is to follow the leader.
Mm-hmm.
And to tune in into what the Lord would lead. And a lot of times there's thoughts, not now, not this time, not here. He's seen the global, big picture view of what we're supposed to do. And we can do damage in the wrong direction, like they were saying.
Yep.
And when you tell that truth, make sure it's in love. If you can't tell the truth in love, keep your mouth shut.
Yeah, that's why if you don't receive any orders, just go with what was last told to you. We just keep going. Yeah. Anything else? All right.
Well, let's pray, and then the pastor can close us out with a song, if he doesn't mind. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for these comrades in arms, my brothers and sisters, my fellow warriors. Father, we fight for the unbelievers, the way that you gave yourself up for us when we were unbelievers, when we were your enemies, Lord, you still died for us. While we were at enmity with you, you still came down from heaven for us. So Lord, we go out into the battlefield and we fight for them, but we don't do this on our own power. If we do that, we're going to lose. So Lord, please go before us. Do not send us unless you promise you're going to go with us. And you, in your word, have already promised that you are with us, even until the end of the age. So, Lord, we go forth in faith. We go forth in joy, thanking you for being who you are and guiding your warriors. We pray all this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.